Now talks between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico kicked off this week as the three countries start the process of renegotiating the North American Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA. It's been a rocky road for the trade pact over the past couple of decades, and it was a frequent target for then-candidate Donald Trump during the presidential campaign.
The worst trade deal ever made by any country, I think, in the world.
Earlier this year, it appeared Trump was ready to pull the United States out of NAFTA. He ultimately changed his mind, agreeing instead to renegotiate the terms of the deal. But with so many moving parts and complex issues, how do negotiators go about getting a better deal for their respective countries, and what would that look like? William Mauldin joins us now. He's a reporter for The Wall Street Journal, where, among other things, he covers U.S. trade policy. Will, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Rob.
Before we dig into this complex negotiation, can you give us a brief reminder, description of what NAFTA is and why it came under fire from Donald Trump and others?
Sure. Well, NAFTA is the big trade agreement that, in one of the early major trade agreements that binds the U.S. to Canada and Mexico. And this was before the World Trade Organization, before many of the other trade deals that we've seen. And it essentially phased out tariffs for trade among the U.S., Canada, Mexico, got rid of those duties where companies could start to trade back and forth and make really efficient supply chains. But it's also, of course, you know, caused dislocations in certain industries. Auto parts production has moved south, among others. And we've, you know, it precipitated, or I guess it presaged a lot of other trade dislocations that came from China's rise as a major trading nation and from other Asian nations. So it's something that's very important to the U.S. economy and its development, but something that's also brought a lot of increasing political friction over the years. You know, we heard Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton criticizing NAFTA in 2008. Of course, Bill Clinton, when he was president, had helped pass the NAFTA through Congress in order to have the treaty take effect. And finally, when we got to, you know, the last election with Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump, it was anything but polite, as you know, sort of became a race to see who could criticize U.S. trade policy the most. Well, now, you know, Trump is the president, and he is following through with a goal of renegotiating NAFTA.
So as these negotiations kick off, what are we hearing from U.S. negotiators coming into the start of this process that could take quite a while?
Well, you know, Bob Lighthizer, who's Trump's U.S. trade representative, fired a pretty strong shot across the bow of the Canadian and Mexican counterparts on Wednesday when the talks kicked off. He said, you know, look, NAFTA hasn't worked. And that was a very different message from the Canadians and Mexicans. Now, you know, Mr. Lighthizer conceded that it has worked for some farmers, many of whom benefit from selling goods duty-free to Mexico. There no quotas or duties for pretty much everything headed south. But he did say it hurt a lot of workers and wanted to renegotiate it in ways that fundamentally changed the agreement, that increased the U.S. sovereignty over dispute resolution processes, basically give the U.S. freer rein on tariffs and other issues. He wants to change the rules of origin, the rules that determine which cars can be traded duty-free or other products, auto parts, and to do various things that the U.S. hopes, that the Trump administration hopes, will improve the trade deficit with Mexico, will improve the trade balance there. This was not really the Canadian or Mexican position. It's not the position of the U.S. business community or many Republicans in Congress. But, you know, the politics in Washington has changed. There's a lot of skepticism of trade agreements, and the Trump administration wants to do something a little bit different, if it can. That, of course, remains to be seen.
Now, President Trump, as we mentioned, seemed like he was maybe on the verge of just saying, nope, we're out of NAFTA. He walked that back. We're renegotiating now. But does that threat still loom over these renegotiations, that if the U.S. doesn't get what it wants, we could say bye?
That's exactly right, Rob. And I hope to do more asking the negotiators, because there's an army of negotiators working on every single detail of the agreement and how it could be changed or left the same or improved or even added to. But that warning that NAFTA could end, some have called it a North American Brexit, that the U.S. could exit NAFTA, is hanging over the talks. Some people don't take it seriously. There was a big congressional and business community backlash when Trump was considering pulling the U.S. out. But others say that, you know what, that's something that's a major risk for the talks. If Canada and Mexico don't agree to what the Trump administration wants to agree to, you know, those threats and warnings could come back. And we've even heard some groups on the left, you know, Public Citizen, for example, saying that if you don't see much improvement in the new NAFTA as opposed to the old NAFTA from their point of view, then, you know, it would make sense to have no NAFTA. So that's something you're seeing on both the left and the right. But the business community tends to like NAFTA overall. And their motto is do no harm. They don't want anything to mess up the supply chains. And they're worried that if things don't work out, that threat could become real.
That's a question I wanted to bring up, those supply chains, because now there are cases where a raw material might go to Mexico, get turned into an auto part. That part gets made into a car in a factory in the U.S. Or fuel might be refined. It goes from Mexico, gets refined on the Gulf, sold back to Mexico as some kind of finished product. What happens to that and many other supply chains if one country is just out of the deal?
Well, if one country is out of the deal, it would have a massive dislocating effect on supply chains. And, you know, I don't think it would be even hard to, you know, to comprehend what, you know, how that could affect the economy, especially industries like the auto suppliers and auto industry, where, you know, they really do a lot of GM suppliers and other suppliers from the Detroit area went south of the border. And some of them make things all around the world. You know, the steel goes back and forth, it's finished, et cetera. So a pullout would be absolutely destructive to that, and, you know, would require many, many years probably to overcome. But even changing the rules of the industry, for example, how much North American content has to be in a particular part for it to cross the border from Mexico to the U.S., that could have a major effect on the supply chains as well. On Wednesday,
we're going to jump in. Line's breaking up there a little bit. William Malden is with us from the Wall Street Journal. We're talking about NAFTA and renegotiations, how they might affect trade in Canada, Mexico, and the United States, the timing, the politics, too, behind NAFTA renegotiations, whether the United States could just exit the deal altogether if these renegotiations don't work out. The renegotiation process started this week and could go on for months, maybe years, but there are some political issues behind the timing there as well. And William, I wanted to ask about the timing issue. These deals can take years to negotiate and renegotiate, but elections coming up next year in Mexico and the United States. How does that play into this?
Well, that's exactly right, Rob. The U.S. officials, Commerce Secretary Ross, for example, say that, you know, the Mexican elections could be a really important, you know, could be an important deadline, as well as the U.S. congressional elections. We've seen in 2016 how elections can change the tone on trade. And it's really hard to sit down at the negotiating table and work out a deal with three countries if you have a political opposition, perhaps a populist opposition as they have in Mexico, sort of undermining the talks or giving alternative viewpoints or saying that a country shouldn't participate. So they would love to do a deal by, you know, January before that Mexican election heats up, for U.S. midterm congressional elections heat up. But if they want literally the big overhaul that Ambassador Lighthizer set out and that President Donald Trump says he wants, it's hard for many trade experts to see how you negotiate it that quick. It's never been done, frankly. The original NAFTA took years. The Trans-Pacific Partnership, you know, took 5 to 7 years, depending on when you count the negotiations. So they've set themselves up with a big challenge, but they're having negotiating rounds one after another. We finished this one on Sunday, and then another round could start in Mexico City as early as September 1st.
Now, here in Wisconsin, we're watching for dairy. There's been an issue with Canadian rules on the importation of particular kinds of dairy products. Big deal here in Wisconsin. And I imagine there's a lot of things around the country that look small to everyone else and are crucially important to that particular local or state economy. How much does that complicate this, that there are so many different stakeholders in all three countries?
There are so many. You know what? And you know, Ambassador Lighthizer knows, the Trump administration knows, some issues are politically very important given congressional leadership. You know, Speaker Paul Ryan, of course, from Wisconsin, will not forget about the dairy issue with Canada, their supply management system for propping up dairy prices and protecting it from U.S. competition has ruffled some feathers before. He was big on that in the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the deal that never got ratified that Trump pulled the U.S. out of. So I think, with this dairy issue, they're going to talk about agriculture tomorrow at the talks, I believe. But Canada's probably going to have to make some concessions there, as they did in the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And if they want, if they want broad support in the House of Representatives, it wouldn't hurt for that key political issue. You know, softwood lumber is another issue. Senator Ron Wyden is the the lead Democrat on the Senate Finance Committee that oversees trade, and there's a softwood lumber dispute with Canada as well.
And we're going to have to leave it there, the first of many conversations on this. Thanks to William Walt Malden from the Wall Street Journal talking about the renegotiation of NAFTA.